to mute.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. This is David Lincoln. It's Lincoln on Lending. It's October 11th. You know what? This last Sunday was an interesting day. I think it's the first time someone is telling me that in, like 800-900 years, we're going to have a 10-10-10. Well, we made that. It should have been. It was a perfect time for us to kick off our new 10-10-10 initiative. I'll talk about that later in the program. But today, you are with us. We're thrilled to have you listening in on the program as you do each and every week, so many of you. And as I get out in the industry, this last week I was in Cleveland, Ohio, working with a great group of folks out there, enjoyed it immensely. But I was on a conference call with the MBA. We've got a conference coming up in at the MBA conference. Most of you, some of you are going to be attending, and it's in Atlanta. And I'm one of the speakers. I'm on a panel, actually. And one of the guys that's on the panel with me, Gabe Mitten, who's one of the chief strategy officer for Motivy, he said that he listens to the program each and every week. So, Gabe, good to know that you're listening. Glad to have you here with us, as we do so many people across the country. Folks, we've got a special guest today, Dirk Zeller, who's president and CEO of Real Estate Champions. His company trains over 350,000 agents worldwide. He has published numerous books. He's a sought-out speaker. You're going to enjoy having him and listening to him, especially for those of you that are in the we welcome all the real estate agents that are listening to the program, but also to many of you loan officers that are saying, how can I be more effective working with realtors? Well, you're going to want to stay tuned until later in the program. We have Dirk on and into that segment. But as we do each and every week, we bring you the update on what's going on in interest rates. Wait a minute, Joe Farr? Joe? Oh, that's right. Joe took the day off. It's Columbus Day, the doggone guy. He took off on me, but he gave me some notes to give it to you. Actually, Joe, we hope you're having a wonderful day getting out there and getting relaxed. The markets are closed. The banks are closed. But looking on lending is not. And here's the update. Today, the markets are closed, so we don't look for anything happening in that. But last week was a big week for MBS prices and mortgage rates. Specifically, MBS prices were up 13/32nds, and mortgage rates obviously improved by 15 basis points to a decade low. I mean, it's just staggering how low these rates are getting. What drove a lot of it was the jobs report. It was the biggest news event last week. It was weaker than expected with 95,000 job losses. And it says that's a net loss of, only 5,000 jobs were expected to be lost, and it came up with 90,000. What's interesting about that number is the loss came from the public sector. You mean the government is downsizing? How about that? The good news in that number was that the private sector actually gained 64,000 jobs. So there was some good news in that. And on that, MBS prices showed initial gain on the news, and then but the gains were reversed later in the day, and the stock market rallied. Interestingly, last week, the Dow closed up over 11,000. How high and how long will it stay there? It remains to be seen. Unemployment stayed at 9.6. It's interesting that a number of surveys say that unemployment is well over 10% if you take in the underemployed and those that are not on collecting unemployment. So that number is, I think, the 9.6 might still be a little bit soft. As we discussed last week, the market is now reacting to economic announcements, both from an inflationary perspective and also a likelihood of Fed, quantitative easing. We need Joe back here to explain what quantitative easing is, or Andy Schell can just jump in on that later on. The weaker economy is causing for us to continue to see MBS prices push higher, which means a greater probability we can see yet even lower rates. That's a good thing, seeing as I was national television here a few weeks ago saying that interest rates will be below, the 30-year fixed rate will be below 4% before year end. I thought that was a little, maybe a little nervous making that prediction, but you know what? This last week, with the way prices went, we actually saw some markets where they were offering a 4%. We saw the potential. If there weren't so fat margins in for the mortgage bankers making as much on the margins, we would have probably seen this come in where you'd have seen a 3.875 rate on the market, very likely. But, again, because of volumes hitting so many shops, a lot of mortgage lenders have taken the rates up just a tad to kind of help control volume. Otherwise, we'd probably be seeing right at 4 or in the high 3s. Amazing. Unprecedented. What's on the scope on the calendar for this week? The Treasury auctions start on Tuesday, and they go through Thursday with the 3-year and then the 10-year, then 30-year Treasuries. We'll be kind of definitely keeping an eye on what's going on in that. The minutes from the last Fed meeting will be released tomorrow, Tuesday. That is pretty much known. Everyone knows what's in them, and doubt do we have any surprises there, but something we'll definitely want to be tracking. Inflationary reports on Thursday and Friday, with PPI on Thursday, and more important, the CPI on Friday. Retail sales also come out on Friday. So should be an interesting week on the economic front. We do wish our good friend Joe Farr a good time, and I hope he's enjoying himself out there. Again, the markets are closed, but and so is Joe. He's off enjoying himself, but we are not, and we're going to be right back after this brief word.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free 2-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. You're going to want to stay tuned all the way through this program. We got Dick Zeller, CEO of Real Estate Champions, who has trained 350,000 agents. Would you like to know what he's telling agents, especially loan officers out there that are wanting to figure out how to be more successful? You're going to want to tune in for this segment. But also tuning in, many of you are tuning in to hear this next report, the traffic report, the legislative, what's going down the legislative highway. Alice Alvey and her staff at Mortgage U each week digest all that's going on and bring it to you in a concise manner. Alice, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dave. And, you know, as usual, we have a list.
A famous list, yes.
Yeah, so, well, I guess I'm going to start with Dodd-Frank. I think what we're going to try and do is each week here try and make sure we at least incorporate something on what's going on, give you a little Dodd-Frank update on anything that's pending, at least in the near future anyway. So due out in October are going to be the appraisal changes. As we've mentioned before, the Home Valuation Code of Conduct is due to sunset at the end of this month, and then the appraiser independence piece of the Dodd-Frank Act will go into effect October 21st. So what that does is it changes that HVCC was this piece specifically for lenders delivering loans to Fannie and Freddie, and now it makes it federal law that applies across our industry. For those of you who really want to read this, the main part of Dodd-Frank, right?
Multiple
pages. I know some people just go, let's wait and hear what Alice says on Monday. But
yes, exactly.
the Dodd-Frank Act, it's Title 14, and within Title 14, it's Section F. And that's the first part, I think, to pay attention to, knowing that it'll be going into effect here shortly. Appraiser independence rules will be across all business lines now, just not just Fannie Freddie deliveries. Then secondly, I guess I want to make sure everyone's aware of a few bills that have been introduced. We have a bill introduced at the end of September, House Bill 6334. This bill is proposing to expand CRA, the Community Reinvestment Act, to include everybody. You know, right now it just applies to depositories. Well, Dave, they're talking about having this apply to lenders, really all the way up through Wall Street. So can you imagine adding a new report for everybody to fill in?
Well, it's just like the federal government. They say they're all green, but they can't cause more tree killing going on across the country. Another, you know, that is extraordinary. Wow.
Well, the CRA, you know, if you think about it, it's all about I'm taking money from a particular community, I should
right.
be reinvesting it in that same community, right, if I'm taking deposits. That's kind of the original premise on this. So I don't know how you have a lender be subject to some type of CRA grading and rating. That is very challenging. So I think people should watch for that. We don't have wording on the bill. It's just being advertised by the senators who, I'm sorry, the representatives who've thrown it out there. So we do have to just watch for wording on that to see what they're going to try and accomplish with it. It'll be very interesting. Another House bill, H.R. 6322, is looking to make permanent the deduction for private mortgage insurance. That also doesn't have text yet. We're waiting to have that one get printed. And then H.R. 6260. This one came out earlier in September. Sale of real property would, where transfer fees are being imposed by homeowners associations. Maxine Waters is the sponsor of this bill, wants that to be prohibited under RESPA. So, you know, just some minor things, I think, overall on the bill side. Other than that CRA one, I think is absolutely could.
That's
could,
huge.
Yeah, it could be big, but doesn't have a lot of application, so we'll have to stay on top of that one. The next big things really for everyone to watch are really what's going on with Regulation Z as all these proposals make their way through the process. So we are watching rules for the Home Secure Credit Bill. Remember, we started watching that back in 2009, and we're looking at changes to high-priced mortgage loan definitions, actually mortgage acts and practices acts that would also really tighten down advertising. Have you seen any false advertising lately? we're looking to get some federal, pressure that advertising is legitimate. We've seen some crazy ones around here. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah, we have too. Especially that if this includes emails that come out about, we're back to, I saw an email come in that says, 100% stated income loans are back. And I'm going, oh, my God, this must be an old email. I forgot to delete. Swear to God, it showed up.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And,
anyway.
The ones that come across making it look like it's from the government, you know,
yes.
If you don't respond now, you're going to lose your opportunity under some federal program. And it's got no identifier in it, and they have wording that tries to make it look like they're the lender. This is, the lender the borrower currently has. These are just egregious ads that have got
to
stop.
And they've got to stop. And there's been companies we know, Alice, have been shut down because of how they did some of their advertising, you know. So for those of you that are out there listening that are doing any kind of direct mail, stay tuned to the Lickin' on Lending. Alice is going to tell you all about it in the future. What else is out there, Alice?
Well, I think just to make sure that, you know, the Reg Z pieces, you know, this one comment period is due to close October 25th, so that's just a few weeks away. This one takes a little digesting. We'll probably cover it on another program here, but it's about replacing the APR as a metric and using the average prime offered rate for the HOPA loans. And so that has a lot of trickle-down for redisclosures. So it really is something we're watching closely to see what's going to be happening with that. There haven't been any changes to any other bills. As you know, a lot of Congress people are out trying to get reelected, but we continue to watch SAFE Act trying to exempt nonprofits. We're continuing watching the SAFE Act and NMLS for banking institutions. Registration has not begun yet. And watching a couple bills, Senate 3247 and 3419 regarding Fair Credit Reporting Act information. So we'll be watching those for you as well. If there are any future developments, we will let you know.
My goodness. Reading this is, there's so much. Do you have any tricks for our listeners that want to go actually dive into some of this?
You know, we use govtrack.us. We also use, certainly knowing where to search and checking definitely Congress people's websites as they announce different things. We certainly look at what the Mortgage Bankers Association is relying on and the Mortgage Action Alliance, something that's very important to us as well to understand what are the big issues to the MBA, and certainly NAMB and the other associations out there on the issues that they're watching. So we try and collect all of those for you.
We appreciate you doing it each and every week for us, Al. Thank you so much. You're going to be at the MBA conference, are you not?
Yes, I am. We have some clients who are holding an event that I will be speaking at. So, yes, we
good,
will be there.
Good. Folks, you can go up and meet Alice Alvey, who brings us the legislative and regulatory Traffic Report each and every week. You're going to want to stay tuned. We have Dirk Zeller as a special guest, and who's president and CEO of Real Estate Champions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Lickin with Lickin' on Lending, and we love bringing this program to you. We're getting so much positive feedback from so many people. Thank you so much. We do need to hear from you. We want to know that this is something that you are enjoying each week, and any suggestions you have, we welcome you. Welcome you to bring those forward to us. Please contact any one of us. Each and every week, we cover how you can make more money. You know what? Are we in the business to make money? Is it important that profit? Profit is not a negative word. Making money is not a negative word. And helping you to do that each and every week, we have a segment called The Profit Doctor to fix what ails your bottom line. Andy Schell is our profit doctor. Welcome to the program, Andy. What's going on?
Dave. Well, thanks, Dave. It's always great to be on the show. And this week, we're going to talk about food fight.
Food fight?
Have you ever been in a food fight?
It's been a while. Not to say there's not a few I've wanted to start here recently.
Yeah, well, just among your kids there in the kitchen. Well, you know, when you talk about a food fight, people most of the time think about Animal House, the movie with John Belushi. There's a big food fight in the movie. And yeah, actually, when I was in high school, I attended a college prep boarding school in Hawaii called Mid-Pacific Institute. And everybody met for dinner at the same time in this large dining hall. And one day, someone started a food fight, and I recall seeing a slab of butter fly across the room and literally stick to the wall. So whether it's Animal House throwing food around to stick into the wall or the food fight that I personally experienced, thank God I was good with deflecting food with my plate. Food sticks against the wall. The connection I'm drawing here, Dave, is that this is how many mortgage lenders operate.
I was waiting for how you're going to draw a food fight to accounting.
They take any application in and throw it against the wall.
That's right.
And they do that because the perspective is that all volume is good, right?
Yeah, that's true. That misnomer has been thought to be true.
Well, so how much does a mortgage lender or a realtor make on a file that doesn't fund? Nothing. They make nothing. But how much did it cost the mortgage bank for a file that doesn't fund? Well, it's thousands. It costs the mortgage bank thousands for payroll, for the processors and underwriters to evaluate the file, irrespective of if the file closes or not, and really irrespective of the quality. So what's the ROI on a file that doesn't fund?
Well, ROI being return on an investment, a return on your time. Yep, good. Keep going.
Return on investment, it's a negative 100%. Every dollar you invested in that file that doesn't fund is 100% loss.
Yeah.
So that's not good. We don't want for files to fund, not files to be processed and not funded. So the perfect mortgage lender is a company where every file the processor touches funds. So the goal for all mortgage lenders should be maximum efficiency, and that would be by only touching files that fund.
I was just thinking the same thing as go with realtors, a listing that doesn't go. That's why we got Dirk on here to talk later about some of this. That's excellent as you're drawing those parallels. Good.
Well, yeah, you know, if you're a realtor and you're driving a buyer around, and if they don't buy, then, you know, you wasted some time. But your worst case is you need to make sure they're qualified, because if they're not qualified, then as much driving around as you do, they're still not going to be able to buy a house. So mortgage bankers, why do we do this? Why do we take everything in and throw it against the processing underwriting wall and hope that it funds? Well, I think it's cultural. I think it's been something that we do, and because we can do anything. We're mortgage lenders. We can make anybody a loan, and we want to say yes to everybody. Well, you know, this is kind of
that,
a hold-on.
I think it'd be also some bad sales managers putting pressure on people just to produce numbers, and that's a mistake. Absolutely.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. Well, I think it's a holdover from some of the anybody is approved subprime days. And
yeah.
This is costing lenders lots of money, and it's costing a lot of money and unnecessary staff. Now, for an originator that brings in a file, throws it against the wall, there's no consequence, and maybe they'll get lucky. But there is a cost, and it does cost the mortgage company money because they have to have people there to fund all of this. And so, you know, if you're a mortgage bank, how many applications come in that fall out? You know, we measure fallout from lock to funding because that's really important. The investors watch that number. But what about our fallout from application to approval?
Yeah.
You know, I've
Great
seen companies
point.
That are probably 50% fallout from application to approval. And, you know what that means? If half of your volume doesn't fund, that means you've got twice as many people.
That's right.
You know? And
That's
so
right.
If that means every other file the processor touches doesn't produce a dime in business, in revenue. And so you can cut your operating expense in half just by having a higher application pull-through. And again, the perfect mortgage bank, the perfect mortgage lender is a company where every file the processor touches funds. So we have some clients that are doing this very, very well, and they're using technology to assist doing this, and they pull credit, they run preliminary AUS, and they are able to reduce the number of files that come into the pipeline up at the very beginning. Because, you know, all mortgage lenders should focus on operational efficiency and strive only to touch files that have a high probability of closing. So, you know, how do we do that? Well, we use technology to help accomplish all that. So, you know, here's a side note, Dave, a quick side note thinking about this, and that's about pre-approvals. You know, when a realtor comes into the mortgage lender and asks for a pre-approval, please do a thorough pre-qual. You know, get credit, get product eligibility, because you're not doing anybody a favor by just, you know, printing these pre-approvals and say everybody gets one, because the realtor now thinks that they've got a qualified buyer.
That's right.
They really may not. So we need to really take those seriously, do a good job on those pre-approvals. So, again.
Hey, Andy, can I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
We talked on the prequel. I don't know if this is a good time or not, but the pre-approval terminology is a challenge, and I would absolutely agree with you on all of this. The challenge is the compliance side of it. So how do you want to address that with customers then? You know, if I have to take an application and I have to make sure that I'm going to run AUS and run a credit report under RESPA and TILA, that's an application. And so I have to have it in my system. I have to issue a good faith estimate and truth in lending disclosure unless I have a denial within 3 business days. So I have a certain amount of paperwork I have to get out once I've actually gone to the extent of running automated underwriting. So I need your help on that one because the laws have now put me in that position.
Well, I think there again, you use technology. Use some technology to help get the paperwork done correctly and run it through. And if you've got an AUS that's on refer or decline, then there you go.
Right. And so when you're saying in processing, you don't mean necessarily that a processor wouldn't touch it at all, but that it wouldn't actually then continue down all the path of getting
exactly.
all the supplemental and additional, like answering the responding to findings and feedback and so forth.
Well, from a theoretical perfect world, mm-hmm. it wouldn't even come into the processor. Now, if the rules make it that there has to be some level of touch, then it just needs to be done as efficiently as possible so that people are only touching files that fund. As long as that's the overall, obviously we've got to follow the rules, but the goal needs to be only touch files that fund, or at least reduce the files that don't fund, and if you reduce the files that don't fund, then you will improve your profitability, provided you're following the rules and using technology to help do that, as Alice was just talking about.
That is just so, there's so much. Alice, we're going to be talking about the all the regulations and how it's changed later in the program, and towards the end of the program, we have our roundtable. We're going to be talking specifically about how you got to treat this differently and all the things that we have never taken into consideration. Andy, thank you so much for bringing us each and every week the information about how we can fix what ails your bottom line. Thanks, Prophet Doctor. Appreciate it.
Well, let's be careful about throwing files against the wall. It costs money. It may not cost the originator anything, but it costs the mortgage company money.
There's food fights and there's file fights. Let's make sure that what sticks, and gets all the way to the bottom line. That's good stuff. Thank you, Andy. Great
pleasure,
having
Dave,
you
thanks.
With it. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after talk with Dirk Zeller, President CEO of Real Estate Champions, and I'm really looking forward to this interview and this next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry. If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan, if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit, broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs. If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Licken with Licken on Lending. It is October 11th, and we're honored and blessed to have Dirk Zeller, President and CEO of Real Estate Champions. Dirk is a sought-after speaker and celebrated author. You know, folks, he has trained over 350,000 agents worldwide, and he does it each and every year. He does it through some live events, online training, self-study programs, and, of course, his ongoing newsletter, which you can go and catch up on when you go to Housing Matrix. In fact, go to LickenOnLending.com. You're going to take you right into the Housing Matrix website. They're kind enough to be hosting this for us, and we're thrilled to do that, but you can sign up for his newsletter right there at the Housing Matrix website. Also, he has got six best-selling books out there, Your First Year in Real Estate, Success at Real, as a Real Estate Agent for Dummies. I love that title, Dirk. For those of us that are the dummies, we like the Dummy series. It was a great book. The Champion Real Estate Agent, The Champion Real Estate Team, Telephone Sales for Dummies. That's another one I think some of us in the mortgage industry could use. And Successful Time Management for Dummies. I know I need that. You have to address how you deal with OC people and ADD and ADHD and all that. See if you address any of that. But anyway, he's got over 300 articles in print. You can learn more by going to realestatechampions.com. Dirk Zeller, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
It's my pleasure to be here today.
We're watching a lot of people and a lot of buyers in the market and hesitant. Why do you think this is today?
Well, I think probably more than anything else, there's just so much information out there that's confusing. And, I mean, you look at Time Magazine, September 1st, Time Magazine, front page, Rethinking Homeownership, totally negative article toward home ownership. And then, you know, Wall Street has had a number of great articles in the last month in terms of why to buy homes.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a great article September 16th, if your listeners didn't get it, on WallStreetJournal.com, on the online version, 10 Reasons Why to Buy a Home.
The article is titled 10 Reasons to Buy a Home. I want to bookmark that one.
Yeah, September 16th, Wall Street Journal online. Last Friday, USA Today on their money section had a negative article on home ownership, why it was better to rent than to buy. I mean, there's this constant back and forth in the media of positive and negative. So the consumers are totally confused. The media is totally confused. And I think from an agent perspective, the real estate agents out in the marketplace aren't giving a clear, compelling reasons or series of reasons why consumers should be buying in today's marketplace, their scripts, their dialogue, their delivery, their strategy, and maybe even some of your listeners aren't real strong in selling, why buy today? Why buy now? You know, why are the real reasons? I mean, you know, I travel across the country and the world, and you know, and I
yep.
you know, put on the board in front of these groups, and I say, okay, why buy now? I mean, I was in Kansas City on Friday last week, and I said that, and I mean, literally, it was a crowd of 400 agents, and they barely came up with five reasons.
You're kidding me.
I'm serious.
These are realtors?
Yeah, they barely came up with five, six reasons
wow.
on their own why buy now. And I'm just standing in front of them on the board saying, guys, if you can't come up with great reasons why to buy now, we're struggling. And I literally listed out 15 for them that they didn't have, and I showed them how to dialogue, and I showed them how to deliver
yeah.
them. And one of them was around, and I'll give you your listeners just a real quick one. One of the reasons I think is you know what I would describe as you know the affordability index. And showing affordability index, you know, 2001 affordability index, you know, the median home price against
yeah.
average income was 20.3. In 06, it was 25.1. And right now it's running 14.9. I mean, if
yeah,
you can't sell via affordability index and the scope of the affordability index today compared to what it was
that's
in 01, 05 and today, and you can't smack a buyer straight in the head and say buy now based on affordability index. I mean, people should have been scared to death to buy in 06, and they weren't. They were buying
they
like
don't.
Crazy,
we're,
and they shouldn't be scared to death to buy now, and they are. It's just
okay.
insane.
That's great. So that affordability index is one of them. I think, you know, I'm thinking about our audience. We've got some realtors out there listening. We've got a bunch of loan officers listening out there. Loan originators, if you want something to go through the front door, follow what Dirk just said. Ask them if there's five reasons. So if they can, there's five reasons why they should talk a buyer into buying right now. So let's listen to the rest of the tips. So you said you wrote down 15. Cover some more with us real quickly with the time we've got. Cover the hot ones that you think people should be absolutely focusing on.
Well, I mean, you could sit down with a consumer and get them to agree that real estate is cyclical. They've all seen that real estate is a cyclical product. It goes up and it goes down. The seller will or buyer will instantly agree that, oh, yeah, the real estate is cyclical. Well, obviously, they'll agree that that's the case. Well, if you agree, Mr. Buyer, that that's the case, obviously you would agree that now is the time to do what?
Be buying.
Exactly. Be buying because real estate will now go up.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of the thing that got into the mentality of a lot of people was it became almost like a commodity. Real
right.
estate is not a commodity. This is not
is
a
not.
Buy and trade thing. This is a long-term investment. And you look at these prices and overall cycle. That's a great – I love things. Okay, let's go on. Let's move on to another. What's another great point?
You know, the satisfaction of home ownership, obviously the tax benefit. You know,
yeah.
No
satisfaction in renting.
No, there's no satisfaction in renting. There's risk in renting in today's marketplace because
right.
the landlord that you have may be upside down. You may be displaced.
Yeah.
You may be one of the foreclosures that comes along and you get thrown out instantaneously.
I actually know someone that did that. They got foreclosed their home. They said, that's it. I'm going to go rent. They rented there, and they had to move again because the house they rented got foreclosed
sure.
on. It's just unbelievable story.
Inventory
good.
And selection are at all-time highs in a lot of places.
Yeah.
All right?
Go ahead. Keep on going.
Okay.
Let's keep running through
home
these.
Prices in some markets are on the rise.
Yeah. Yep. There are markets that we're actually seeing some stabilization and we're seeing
sure.
some improvement. Absolutely.
Certainly, financing is more than available.
Absolutely. Anyone
okay,
who says
we've
that
gone through
not...
the transition in the financing, at least in my view, and
yeah.
you guys are more than experts in that than I am, but certainly we went through, you know, some parts where the overcorrection happened in the financial markets. Now we've got a stabilization, in my view, in the financial markets. Wouldn't that be correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We may not have some of the crazy, zany programs, but those didn't help the real estate market. It blew it up, as far as I'm concerned. So we've got common sense product. And now some people are facing capacity. subsidy issues. A lot of the companies, the few companies that mortgage companies that survived, Dirk, are struggling with ridiculous amounts of volumes. So you need to pick who you're doing business with to make sure they can service you well. And I think that's a message from the mortgage industry out to the real estate community. Be careful who you're doing business. Do your homework. There's some places,
sure,
like some of the banks are just inundated. They can't. The service is terrible. But there's some good independent mortgage bankers out there still offering great rates, great programs, and great service. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
I mean, at the end of the day, the key questions for the buyers in today's marketplace, or for the agents and mortgage originators to evaluate with their buyers, is can that buyer afford the home? Can they really afford the home without an exotic mortgage like they were getting in the old days? Is it safer to buy today than it was in the old marketplace? Well, obviously it is. It's tremendously safer to purchase today than it was in 06. As I said, you know, they should have been scared to death to purchase back then, and they were buying like crazy, all right? You know, today, is it a reasonable investment, although a home is not necessarily an investment? An investment property is an investment. I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is, and this is what I say all the time, it's like, come on, is today a good time to buy? Are you kidding? It's a great time to buy. Buy two.
Yeah.
Don't buy one to own and one to rent.
I think there's some guys out there that have two-for-one specials going right now, Dirk, so I wouldn't be surprised. Where do you see the marketplace going in the next 6 months to the year, or to over the next 6 months to a year?
I mean, I think it's more of the same. I mean, I think, you know, it's more of the same in most markets. I think it's just going to be what it's going to be. My analogy is this for agents, and we predominantly work with agents that are trying to increase their performance in terms of earnings. And my analogy is that, you know, this is the playing field, and the playing field may be a little bit muddy, and it's, you know, let's say it's a football field, it may be a little bit muddy, and there's some spots that it's challenging. Well, get longer cleats.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Learn to play.
Yeah.
And you know, there's still a lot of, you know, a lot of money and a lot of opportunity out on this playing field, and there's still a way to make a wonderful living and grow your business and have a great opportunity to provide for you and your family and you know, real estate and mortgage origination, running a mortgage business there's plenty of money to be made. You know.
Yeah, there is. There's an abundance, and to your point, the market has never been more ripe to just go out there and make a good deal of money on the marketplace. I mean, we look at values. We look at some of the others. Are there any other on that list? I'm really stuck on your list. I want to go through that list of all 15, but I think people should be able to call you and get a hold of you to get the rest of the list.
We don't have enough time to go through everything, but, you know, again, you know, for the buyer, how long do they plan to own it?
Yeah. Great point.
You know, I mean, nobody's going to make money in today's marketplace if they're going to flip a home in 2 years.
No. Nope. That's right. That's right advice. And what should realtors and loan officers be telling buyers in light of the current buyers and sellers in light of the current marketplace? That's one of them. You don't look to flip it in 2 years. I mean, this is a buy and a longer term investment strategy, but you're getting in at the lowest end of the market in a long, long time. What other things should they be telling them?
The purchaser specifically?
Yeah, purchasers primarily. Yes.
Well, it depends on the purchaser and what the purchaser's objectives and goals are, and I think that's the other thing is they have to have a long enough understanding conversation with that purchaser to know what that purchaser's goals are going to be.
What should be agents on? Let's talk to the agents that are listening in and to the loan officers, loan originators are. What should they be saying to their buyers and sellers?
To get them to take action?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. To get them to take action in terms of now, again, the absorption rate is what we're looking at in terms of getting them to take action. Getting them to, they have to get them to functionally understand. You've got to know what the purchaser wants. You've got to know what the goals are. You've got to understand the reasons why. People are doing things for reasons why. Okay? They've got to understand the reasons why the action or what's causing the action or the causing them to look at this time. meaning what's the underlying reasons or motivation why that person is taking action to purchase a home at this time or to look at this time, and they've got to see, is the why big enough? Is the why big enough that's causing them to be looking or considering a change? And then the other thing is they also got to look at the influencing factors beyond that individual, because there's a lot of voices going on. Is Uncle Ned having a significant influence? And how big an influence is Uncle Ned?
That's
Uncle
good.
Ned is the negative person in their life who's the know-it-all. Everybody's
Uncle
got an Uncle Ned.
Ned. Uncle Neg. Well, I, well, change the D to a G and Uncle Neg. That's good. I like
yeah.
that.
Because you got to deal with Uncle Ned.
You got to. Because there's a lot of negativity in the market. You're absolutely right on. And I celebrate the way you're going about trying to get people to look at this. You are so right. People were buying in a market where it made no sense. And now we have everyone sitting on the fence when it makes all the reason people should be diving in. Folks, we've got Dirk Zeller, CEO, Real Estate Champions, as our special guest. We're going to be right back after this brief break. Stay tuned, Dirk. We'll be right back with you.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Folks, each and every week we have Rob Katz bring us the news that didn't make the news, and we usually have this great cool sound that kind of work with it and how our producer does that. But we don't have that this week, so we're going to go right now into having Rob give us the news that didn't make the news. Rob?
I found a very interesting blog by Eve Smith that I'm going to start to follow at www.nakedcapitalism.com. I recommend the posting from October 6th called Rules of Law versus Bank Profits, Mortgage Fraud Edition. It is a fairly long posting with several links to prior posts. It essentially is digging into the complexities of foreclosures across the secondary markets related to GMAC's inappropriate paperwork handling that has led to GMAC, Chase, and B of A suspending foreclosures. There are several references to these problems just being the tip of the iceberg. Again, you can find this blog at www.nakedcapitalism.com. On a different note, Dave Gilson had an article in the September-October issue of Mother Jones that breaks down congressional seats according to their major business sponsors. In both the House and the Senate, the largest collection of seats were funded by the finance, insurance, and real estate industries. Although this article isn't directly related to the mortgage space, I wanted to share it because it so clearly illuminates the influence special interest groups have on our politics. You can find this article called Who Owns Congress? A Campaign Cash Seating Chart online at motherjones.com. Those were the stories that caught my attention this past week for the Mortgage Minute. This is Rob Katz with DMD, and I'll be back next week with the news I think you should know about.
Rob Katz, thank you so much for bringing it to us each and every week. We love it when you go out there and scan out what's going on out there. And, folks, if you want to learn more, you can go to www.dmdinc.com and get to know Rob and his staff, an outstanding group of people that are helping so many mortgage professionals do a great job of managing their risk and managing their bottom line. Go online, get a hold of one of their sales representatives. We are back with Dirk Zeller, who is CEO of Real Estate Champions. Again, Dirk is a sought-after speaker, has trained 350. Dirk, how do you train 350,000 agents? That is an amazing claim. And then if you're not doing that, I always look at these guys that have those kind of things on their resume, and then I look at all the books you've written. Outstanding. Way to go. You must not sleep.
Oh, I sleep plenty. I sleep plenty. We have a lot of relationships. We do a lot of training with national brands, and we do a lot of virtual trainings and have internal programs that we do with national brands.
Well, we've got someone else who does a lot of training who's going to jump in. We're going to bring our panel in, Dirk. I'm going to toss this to Alice. She's got some questions for you. Alice?
Great. Thanks. Welcome to the program, Dirk.
Thanks, Alice.
We're glad to have you here. So tell us, how should agents be responding to all the media reports in today's marketplace? You know, there's a lot going on in the news, even as Rob Katz was illustrating.
Well, I think the agents and the loan officers both have to be better read. They have to read and study and understand what's happening in today's marketplace, and they have to work with the reports, because their clients are. I mean, I just shared a couple of different articles and things that have come out in the last few months, and there's other things that they have to do. I mean, I say to this to agents all the time, but I even to your audience, I would tell them there's something that the National Association of Realtors does every year, and probably your audience, the loan officers, don't even know it's available. But every year, the National Association of Realtors does a home buyer and seller profile, where they aggregate all the information of where buyers and sellers come from, what they look at, what they buy, what they purchase, everything. It's about 115 to 20 page report that NAR does every year, you know, how buyers and sellers come through the internet and what they market to and what they look at. And it's a great report, and actually it's free for real estate agents that they can get through realtor.org every year, but the loan officers can actually purchase it as well. It's like $50. And it can be bought, but it's one of the best reports, one of the best things in that about the real estate industry and what NAR does every year. And I highly recommend it for anybody that's involved in the real estate industry that's working with buyers and sellers, because it just shows you all about what's happening in the real estate market
great
and what
too.
Buyers and sellers do.
Yeah,
and great. Pardon me?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so it's a great report, but you got to stay up on what's happening and stay up on statistics and strategies.
Well, and you like you were referencing, a report like that is going to give you the, you know, on the ground details of what's really going on in the market, because we're so, even real estate has to be statewide, national, know what's going on across a very large area now, as opposed to you just needing to know your immediate local market, because you have to be able to talk to these things with your customers, I would assume. And so there's, you know, you need that information, I think, to make sure you understand your market, because it's not just small markets anymore. It's all very large marketplaces to understand. So there's a sense of urgency then for everybody. Get to know what's going on in the marketplace. Get to stay, you know, get outside of your comfort zone maybe.
Well, it's like 94% of the buyers last year used the internet. 36% of them found the exact home they purchased off the internet first.
Wow.
And aren't those numbers going up? Those are increasing.
Those are increases, yeah. Well, you know, in 1997, 3% of the buyers used the internet.
Well, right. Well,
so, I mean, that's a
library,
dramatic change, 94 from 3%. And but, I mean, 36% found the home that they bought, that they actually bought on the internet first last year, which is a huge jump from previous years.
So what do you think are the most important characteristics for an agent's success in today's real estate market?
I think the most important characteristic for success in today's market for an agent is sales skills. Right now in today's marketplace, most agents don't have the sales skills they need to compete in the marketplace right now. And you'd think it was technology skills or some of these other skills. And in fact, it was fascinating. I was asked by Realtor Magazine a few months ago. They did a profile of four or five, you know, major trainers, and they asked all of us, you know, what do you think the greatest tool is right now in the real estate agent? And everybody's spouting off all the different things, and I said it was the telephone. And I said it's the one tool that agents are losing the skill to be able to use, because they can't convert leads and get them face-to-face.
That is so
interesting. It's still a face-to-face, belly-to-belly business, and we are losing the skills to get leads face-to-face. And I don't care whether it's a real estate agent or a mortgage originator, you still got to get the lead in front of you and press flesh to be able to get them into a loan app or get them face-to-face to commit to working with you as a real estate agent on an exclusive basis so you can secure that lead to a, from a prospect to a client.
That is great. That is such a good point. In-person people are, it's just such important. This is a people business, relationship business. Andy Schell, I know you've got a question or two for Dirk.
Well, that's just great information, Dirk. You know, getting an email is not the same as a phone call, and getting a phone call is not the same as a handshake. So that's really, really, it's basic, but it's very, very important. You know, as we talk about this with mortgage originators and real estate agents, you know, how can they work more effectively together in today's marketplace?
Well, I think, again, it's one of the things that agents and mortgage originators need to do is work more effectively together, and agents need to functionally understand that their mortgage originating partner is probably one of the most valuable assets in their business, because from the consumer strategy perspective, the mortgage originator has a lower barrier of entry. They're always looked at from the consumer's point of view as a consultant, where a real estate agent is still looked at as a salesperson. So the real estate agent needs to get the leads to the mortgage originator quicker, faster, and more seamlessly, because they're coming at that prospect from a divergent angle. And so the real estate agent, I think, the biggest mistake they often make is they don't get leads to their partner quick enough, or they don't have a partner for that matter. Most agents kind of are lone rangers, and they go it on their own, or they give their leads to two or three or four different mortgage originators instead of having one that they exclusively work with in a partner relationship. And to me, that's a huge mistake. Overall, that you find somebody that as a mortgage originator has great sales skills, has great systems and strategies, and that you form a strategic partnership with, that you blend together, and that you get leads to faster, earlier. Don't wait till you've fully converted that lead, that you share leads and converge in the middle on leads. That's the way I teach and coach.
That is good. Let's talk to you, address the mortgage originators we have out there. How has the mortgage originator's role been changed for real estate agents because of the marketplace change?
I don't know that it's changed that much. I just think that agents don't functionally utilize the mortgage originator in the right way. Here's the thing that you've got. When you have, according to NAR, again, this is going back to NAR stats, when 69% of the agents have been in the business less than 5 years, and you have basically a marketplace over the last handful of years that you could have been a ham sandwich and made money in, as a real estate agent, you've got a group of agents that functionally didn't understand how to function in a normal marketplace.
That's a good point.
Today's marketplace is a normal marketplace.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you really get down to it, you know, in the last 30 years, the average, you know, unit sold in the United States was 4.4 million units. If you look at the last 20 years, it was 4.9 million units. If you look at the projection of 2010, the projected units is running about 4.6 million units in 2010. So we're going to finish somewhere between the last 20 and the last 30 years, right in the middle. Are you following me, everybody?
Yeah.
We're in a normal market.
We're in a normal market. This is why people need to get back out and do something. Folks, we've had Dirk Zeller as our special guest, president and CEO of Real Estate Champions. And you can head over and get to know more about Dirk and a lot of the material. Get him to come and speak to your organization. I tell you, I listened to him when I had a chance to interview Dirk before the program, and then listening to him here. Dirk, I just love your energy level. I mean, anyone is going to benefit by getting you out in front of them. So if you're looking for someone to motivate your people, I don't care if you're a realtor, you own a real estate group, or if you're a builder, or if you are a loan officer or a production manager, you definitely want to get someone with this guy's energy and statistics and knowledge. You're right on. I love that. We're right in the middle of where the markets always have been. Ignore the bubble. Get back to reality. It's time to start buying some property. Dirk, thank you so much for being with us. Delightful to have you here.
My pleasure.
Love to have you back. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break. Stay tuned.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Lincoln with Lincoln on Lending. It's so good to have had you be with us again this week. Alice and Andy, did you find that interesting that the surge in real estate activity at 94% are discovering and they're 36%? That was really interesting statistic. I didn't realize it had gotten that high, but I'm really not surprised as I think about it. Alice?
No, that's, go ahead, Alice.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, just judging from what we see going on in the marketplace, it's good to watch. I mean, in other words, it puts more control in the consumer to be able to kind of do some of that shopping, but certainly still needing a realtor to get to that next level, you know, in finalizing the transaction and understanding more about different markets.
Well, I think
you can't
also
get into
important.
The property without the key box, and you can't get the key box without a realtor.
That's
right.
So
you've got to have a realtor to help with this activity. Hey, Dave, if I can make an observation.
Yeah.
We've been talking now about developing relationships and about how Dirk was saying you need to go get on the phone, don't send emails, and even go in person and meet with people. You know, one of the challenges we've been having in mortgage lending recently in the profit doctor arena is the whole Department of Labor ruling about originators being inside sales.
Yes.
Without going into that, if the originators would just get out of their desk, get in their car, and go from realtor office to realtor office to realtor office almost all day long, this would be a problem. And that's what they need
right.
to do. They need to get their box of payday candy bars and go to those realtors' offices and walk around and hand out payday candy bars and say, I'm your guy, I'm your gal, I'm going to get your loans done. Talk to me, I can make it happen.
That's such a good point, Andy. That is really good. Face to face, belly up to the other person. I like that. Brought back images of one of the realtors I had a long time ago. It wouldn't have been too hard to belly up to him. It was out there ready for you to contact. Sorry about that to my old friend. Anyway, so good to have you folks with us each and every week. Andy and Alice, thank you so much. We wish Joe well on his day off. Next week we've got Margaret Kelly, President CEO of RE/MAX International, going to be our guest. Folks, you're going to want to listen to this. It is going to be a dynamic interview. She does a lot of television like I do, and you're going to enjoy the segment with Margaret Kelly. Stay tuned. Again, get over to LickinOnLending.com, LickinOnLending.com. Register for the newsletter and update our programs. We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned. Or no, come back. I didn't mean stay tuned. Our program's over. We're heading a wrap. And so you have a great weekend, but come back. And tune in next week. Appreciate you. Pass the word around, too. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com.
Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Elby, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.